When nuclear Russia and the Muslims come against Israel, we are near the end of this age.
The super sign of the end times is Israel being restored and then threatened by enemies from the north.
This is Bob Boyd.
And Jerry Boyd.
This is Issues in Education. In Ezekiel 38, God says a nation in the far north of Israel, led by an evil ruler named Gog, G-O-G, that the Lord will drag Gog's army against his people Israel. So when they attack Israel, God's anger will burn hot. God, in his wrath, will bring a tremendous earthquake and rain down burning sulfur and hailstones on Gog's army. Is Russia's president Vladimir Putin Gog?
Will Vladimir Putin provoke God's wrath so that God himself will destroy Russia's armies and their allies when they come against Israel?
Our guest is prophecy expert Pastor Jimmy Evans of the Gateway Church in Dallas. Jimmy Evans hosts the national TV program called The Overcoming Life. Jimmy Evans is the author of Where Are All the Missing People? The Sudden Disappearance of Millions and What Happens Next.
Joel chapter 3 is a very important text. And this is God in the first person speaking through the prophet Joel. Here's what he says. In those days, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations. God here is saying, in the same period of time, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem from all over the world, there's going to be Armageddon. I'm going to bring all nations down to the Valley of Jehoshaphat. So this is the Battle of Armageddon. In AD 70, the Roman general Titus, with the Roman legion, defeated the Jews, killed over 1 million Jews, destroyed the city of Jerusalem, destroyed the temple and razed the temple mount, took the remaining Jews captive back to Rome. They were ultimately scattered all over the world. So God is saying, you've scattered my people all over the world, but I'm regathering them. That has happened on May the 14th, 1948. Israel came into existence for the second time. Isaiah 11, God says, I will again for the second time take my hand and regather my people from all the nations. So literally, in one day, in May of 1948, Israel became a nation.
In 70 AD, when Israel was destroyed and the Jews were massacred, the remainder were scattered throughout the world. But then when God regathered his people in Israel in 1948, that was the beginning of the end times. In the same period of time that Israel becomes a nation, the Battle of Armageddon is going to happen.
God is saying this, in the same period of time when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, May 14th of 1948, in that same period of time, Armageddon is going to happen. Here's what Jesus said, Matthew 24. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branches become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, he was talking about the end times, when you see all these things, know that it is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. So Jesus says, the generation that sees the beginning of the end will see the end of the end. God told us the end started when he brought back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem in 1948. So the last days began. Every generation has had signs of the end times. Every generation's had earthquakes. Every generation's had famines. Every generation's had pestilences. Every generation has some evil person they thought was the Antichrist. But we're the only generation that has the existence of Israel. That's what makes us different. That's why we know we're living in the end times. Israel has to exist for dozens of end times prophecies to come true. For there to be a covenant with the Antichrist in Israel, they have to exist. For the abomination of desolation to take place, they have to exist, and there has to be a rebuilt temple. For the two witnesses to come, there has to be existence of Israel. So Israel has to exist, and they have existed since 1948. So Jesus said, the generation that sees these things will see all things fulfilled.
In Matthew 24:32, Jesus said, when you see all these things, wars, famines, earthquakes, the end is near. And then he said, this generation will not pass away until all these things happen. So when Israel became a nation in 1948, until the end is one generation. The question is, how long is the generation?
God says, at the same time I bring back Israel, Armageddon is going to happen in that same period of time. So a really important question is, how long is the generation? Jesus said that generation won't pass away. How long is the generation? So Psalm chapter 9, he says this, the days of a man's life are 70 years, or if by reason of strength, they're 80 years. 70 years is a generation, or possibly 80 years. Well, how long has it been since Israel was reborn as a nation? It's been 74 years. So if a generation is 80 years, we have 6 years left. Now, I'm not setting dates. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And so in God's mind, the end times is a compressed period of time. It doesn't go on for 200 or 300 years. It goes on for one generation, however long that is. Okay, so God says, in the same period of time that I do this, I'm going to do this because I'm mad. And I'm mad for two reasons. I'm mad because of the way you treated my people and you've scattered them around the world. And I'm mad because you're dividing up my land. God calls the nation of Israel his land. So is it true that we're dividing up the land of Israel? Well, Israel is about the size of the state of New Jersey. It's a tiny, tiny little nation, and we have been dividing it up since 1948, since they got there. In 2005, the United States, under the George W. Bush administration, the United States forced Israel, along with the United Nations, we forced them to give up the Gaza Strip. Very lucrative piece of land, but the Palestinians said, that's our land. And if you give us that land, we'll have peace with you. Land for peace. They gave them the Gaza Strip and they shoot rockets out of it. Okay, there is no land for peace. And so we forced Israel out of the Gaza. 5 days later, Hurricane Katrina hit the Gulf Coast. Historic damage, worst natural disaster in American history at that time. Immediately, Jewish rabbis came out and said, that's what God does because you made us give up the Gaza Strip. Another example. Last December, there was a 230-mile-long tornado, an F4 tornado, this horrifically powerful tornado that hit four states in 4 hours, did most of its damage in the state of Kentucky. 230-mile-long, historic tornado, historic damage. What was happening at Israel at the same time? The Biden administration at exactly the same time was trying to force the Israelis to stop building 9,000 houses in a settlement in East Jerusalem, because the Biden administration doesn't recognize East Jerusalem as belonging to the Jews. They believe it belongs to the Palestinians. And they are trying to pressure the Israelis to give up East Jerusalem, the West Bank, their settlements in the West Bank, and the Golan Heights. And what that means is 200,000 Jews lose their homes in East Jerusalem, 400,000 Jews lose their homes in the West Bank, and they give up the Golan Heights, which is an incredibly militarily strategic area of Israel. This is what the Biden administration is doing. You remember the Trump administration recognized Jerusalem as belonging to Israel, and we put our embassy there. This is not political. This is just facts. And so the Trump administration recognized Jerusalem, the first world leader since King Cyrus of Persia that recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital. And so we now see our current administration is trying to force them out. When this historic tornado hit, the Biden administration was trying to force the Jews to stop building 9,000 houses in East Jerusalem. They also announced that they were going to open a consulate for the Palestinians in East Jerusalem. In other words, an embassy. They were recognizing East Jerusalem as belonging to the Palestinians. And so God says, I'm ticked. And I'm going to tell you why I'm mad. I'm mad because of how you're treating the Jews, and I'm mad because you're dividing up my land.
So when America goes against Israel, there are consequences, as our Christian founders knew when they said national sins beget national calamities. When national calamities happened, they would turn back to God and repent.
In God's mind, the end started May the 14th of 1948 when he began bringing back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem. And by the way, today, 600 Ukrainian Jews will fly from the Ukraine to Israel and immigrate back to Israel. How do we know we're living in the end times? My answer is the existence of Israel. Israel is God's super sign and stopwatch related to the end times. Everything starts there and everything ends there with Armageddon.
God's prophetic time clock for the end time events is based on what's happening to Israel. So what about Russia?
Russia is a major player in the end times events. Ezekiel 38 and 39 calls Russia Rosh. So then is Gog President Vladimir Putin of Russia? What about Russia?
Russia is a major player in the end times, and Ezekiel 38 and 39 gives us prophecies that tell us what Russia will do in the end times. This is Ezekiel 38. Son of man, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh. Rosh is Russia. Behold, I'm against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks in your jaws, and lead you out with all your army, horses, and horsemen. Now, this prophecy is against one man. This man is named Gog, and he's the leader of Russia. And God says here, you prophesy against this man who's the leader of Russia. And you say to him, listen to me, Gog, I'm against you. And I'm going to put hooks in your jaw. The hook was an animal hook. When you had a stubborn mule that wouldn't do what you wanted it to do, you would put a hook in its mouth and drag it around, force it to go where you wanted it to go. And what God is saying here is, hey, Vladimir, you don't make the decisions here. I'm going to make the decisions for you. I would say Vladimir Putin is Gog. God is saying here, I'm against you, Gog. We have a leader in Russia who's a very evil man. You're seeing in Ukraine how evil Vladimir Putin is, bombing women and children, bombing nursing homes, bombed a mosque and killed the people in it that were hiding there. This is an evil man, and Ukraine is not his endgame. He wants to reassemble the former Soviet Union, even take over parts of Europe more than likely. So this is a new Hitler on a rampage. This is the most aggressive military action that's been taken since World War II.
Putin has the same diabolic spirit as Stalin and Hitler. He is evil, and Ukraine is not his final objective. He wants to assemble the former Soviet Union and even take over parts of Europe.
That's right. The only difference is Vladimir Putin has a huge arsenal of nuclear weapons that he threatens to use, and he's crazy enough to do it. So Europe and the United States are afraid to interfere with Vladimir Putin's ambitions because it could set off World War III with a nuclear devastation the world has never seen. So God will take care of Vladimir and his allies when they come after Israel. So what nations are with Russia when they go to invade Israel?
Magog, today that's Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, Kyrgyzstan, and Afghanistan. That's the Stan Club. If your name ain't Stan, don't apply. Then Gomer, Togarma, Meshech, and Tubal. This is modern-day Turkey. That's the nation of Turkey. Put, that's Libya, could be Algeria, that's Northern Africa. So these are all the nations that are mentioned there. By the way, Persia is Iran. Iranians are not Arabs, they're Persians. And he lists all these nations that are going to be with Gog in this invasion of Israel. God says, you're going to be coming from the far north. So when the Bible gives directions, it's always giving them from Jerusalem. When the Bible says north, it means north of Jerusalem. When it means south, it's south of Jerusalem. Okay, so you're going to come from the far north. If you go from Jerusalem in Israel directly north, you hit Moscow. Rosh is Russia. And by the way, the Iranians are precious people. There's a huge revival happening in Iran. The leaders of Iran are crazy, crazy, crazy. The people are precious. Don't judge people because of their crazy leaders. What do these nations have in common? Do they have anything in common? They're all allies of Russia and they all hate Israel. These are all Muslim nations except for Russia. And Russia's very, very angry at Israel right now. 2,600 years ago, the prophet Ezekiel sits down and writes this prophecy. It's exactly what's happening in the world right now. All these nations are in their place. They're all politically and militarily aligned, and they all hate Israel. They would attack Israel in a heartbeat if they could. For what purpose are they attacking Israel? Ezekiel 38. So there are three reasons stated of why these nations are going to invade Israel. To take booty and plunder, number one. Number two, to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are going to inhabit it, to get the land back. They want the land back. Number three, to stretch out your hand against the people gathered from the nations, the Jews. To kill the Jews, to get the land back, and to take their goods. So there's two groups of people that are going to invade. There are the Russians, and there are the Muslims. And they have two completely different agendas of why they're going to invade. For the Russians, their motive is 32 trillion cubic feet of natural gas off the coast of Israel. Now, 10 years ago, if you would have asked me, what did Israel have that Russia would attack them for, to take booty and plunder? I'd just say, I don't know. Unless you enjoy swimming in the Dead Sea, I don't know. There's nothing in Israel that valuable. In the last 7 or 8 years, Israel has discovered in two gas fields off of its shores in the Mediterranean, 32 trillion cubic feet of natural gas. You say, why is that important? Because Europe buys one-third of their natural gas from Russia.
That's fascinating. Most people don't realize that Israel's wealth, 32 trillion cubic feet of natural gas, is off the coast of Israel.
So with the invasion of Ukraine, Germany shut down the Nord Stream pipeline, costing Russia billions of dollars.
So Russia controlled the natural gas to Europe to heat their homes and cook their food, and that gave Russia huge control over Europe. And that's why Germany shut down this Nord Stream pipeline. And yet America, until recently, still bought oil from Russia.
The Nord Stream 2 pipeline was being built from Russia to Germany to supply Germany and Europe. They shut it off. Germany shut it down because of the invasion of the Ukraine. That cost Russia billions of dollars. We are buying 100,000 barrels of oil a day from Russia until this week. The Biden administration thankfully shut that down. We're no longer buying oil from Russia. So Russia is losing their number one part of their economy is energy. They're losing natural gas business. See, Europe hates buying natural gas from Vladimir Putin. He constantly manipulates you and controls you when he has that kind of power over you. When they invaded the Ukraine in the dead of winter, they shut off half of Ukraine's natural gas so they could just barely heat their homes. They wouldn't give them the gas until they gave up their country. And so Russia is a horrible provider of energy. Now, their number one competitor is Israel, the nation of Israel. And Russia is very angry with Israel because Israel came out and denounced the invasion of the Ukraine and stood with the Ukrainians. The day after they did that, Russia's ambassador to the United Nations declared in the United Nations that Russia no longer recognizes Israel's right over the Golan Heights. The Golan Heights sits high above the Galilee area in Israel. It's a strategic advantage. It's on the border of Syria. It's a strategic advantage whoever has it. The last time Syria had it was before the Six-Day War in 1967. And when they had it, they used it to bomb Israel. Israel took over the Golan Heights to keep Syria from doing that again. Russia now declared, we don't recognize the Golan Heights as belonging to Israel, which means if Syria attacks it, Russia will support them. And by the way, Russia and Iran are currently on the northern border of Israel, ready to attack. The leader of Syria is a puppet for Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin, he either directly controls or he heavily influences every nation that we just listed in the Make God conspiracy. So Russia has a huge interest in the natural gas of Israel, and all their friends are Muslims that hate Israel and have another purpose there. So I believe the booty and the plunder, that's going to be Russia's agenda, to get down there and to take 32 trillion cubic feet of natural gas. They would lock up the market in that entire area of the world on natural gas. So why are the Muslims attacking? They have a completely separate agenda. We all know the Muslims hate the Jews. Most of them will not recognize their right to exist, with the exception of the Abraham Accords that are taking place, especially on the Saudi Peninsula. And so Iran is officially a Muslim nation. And Iran is not run by politicians. Iran is run by mullahs and the Ayatollah, leaders of the Muslim faith. It would be like the Congress of the United States having to report to a group of pastors and one pastor being over them. And so the religious leaders of Iran believe that Allah has called them to destroy Israel and to usher in the end times. They believe that's their call as a nation. And their eschatology is this. They will attack Israel. They will destroy Israel. And when they do that, the hidden imam, who is their Messiah, will come into Jerusalem along with Jesus. And Jesus will tell the world that he's a Muslim and call on all the world to convert to Islam.
So the Muslims believe that they need to destroy Israel so their caliphate, their imam, who is their Messiah, will come into Jerusalem along with Jesus, who they claim is a Muslim, who will tell the world to convert to Islam.
What satanic deception. So they must destroy Israel, and soon Iran will have enough uranium to build its nuke to do it. Nuts with nukes will do crazy stuff.
They have to destroy Israel for the hidden imam to come and for the end times. That's their eschatology. They have told Israel on multiple occasions, we do not recognize your right to exist and we're going to destroy you. They've told them 100 times they're going to destroy them. They've been enriching uranium for years, but they haven't been close until now of getting enough enriched uranium to build a bomb. Last summer, Benny Gantz, who's the defense minister of Israel, said Iran is 8 weeks away from having enough enriched uranium for one bomb. That was last summer. It's believed right now by the international intelligence community that Iran probably has enough enriched uranium for one bomb. Up until now, they didn't have enough enriched uranium, and they didn't have a ballistic missile that could reach Israel until last month. And then they came out with this missile. This is the Iranian missile that they announced last month. This has the range to hit the nation of Israel. That missile is named after a battle where the Muslims beat the Jews. In other words, they built a missile and put Israel's name on it. It's now believed they have enough enriched uranium for one bomb. They now have a delivery mechanism for that. And Israel has put this year in their budget $5 billion in their budget to bomb Iran. They have been conducting massive military drills practicing bombing Iran. They have told the Russians, we're going to bomb Iran if they keep enriching uranium. They've told America, we're going to bomb Iran if they keep enriching uranium. Because Iran is an existential threat to the nation of Israel. Israel cannot afford to let them have any nuclear weapons. And they're on the verge right now of having the enriched uranium and delivery mechanism to bomb Israel. Now, there's been these talks in Vienna, which are the biggest joke in the entire world. The Iranians have been playing the entire world while they've been building all their nuclear weapons. And so the United States was willing to pay Iran billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars if they would agree to any nuclear deal, but they got to keep their enriched uranium and they get to keep their centrifuges. That's like having to tie a pork chop around your neck to get the dog to play with you. That's when you know you're really desperate. And so we have this terrible deal trying to make with Iran just to have a deal. And Israel has a completely separate agenda. Israel has to bomb Iran. Remember that God says, I'm going to put a hook in your jaw and I'm going to drag you down. This is my personal opinion I'm about to share. I believe that Israel is about to bomb Iran. I don't think there's any way that they can not bomb Iran. They have to stop Iran. It's in their budget. They've been practicing it. They've been announcing it. If they get closer, we're not going to let Iran get a bomb. They're going to kill us with it if they do. And so they're going to bomb Iran. That will provoke Russia and the Muslim nations to attack Israel. This is my opinion. Russian scientists are all over the Iranian nuclear installations. Russia has helped to supply and fund the money for all the Iranians are doing with their nuclear program. And so when Israel bombs Iran, they're going to kill a bunch of Russians. And Russia has warned the United States repeatedly, and they have warned Israel repeatedly, if you strike Iran, you'll have us to answer for it. They've told us this. And by the way, you know, we've put all the sanctions on Russia. Do you know what Russia said to the United States? That's fine, you can sanction us, but you can't sanction our dealings with Iran. We want the dealings with Iran to be out of the picture with the sanction deal. They have a very, very strong relationship with Iran.
As Jimmy Evans says, Israel has to bomb Iran for their survival. If they don't, what Hitler did in 6 years, Iran's nuclear bomb will do in 6 seconds to Israel.
When Israel bombs Iran, it will provoke Russia and the Muslim nations to attack Israel.
Russia has supplied and funded Iran's nuclear program, so when Israel bombs Iran, Russia has repeatedly said, if you attack Iran, you'll pay for it. So how does this Gog-Magog war end, according to Ezekiel 38?
Ezekiel 38, this is the Gog-Magog war. It will come to pass at the same time when Gog comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord my God, that my fury will show in my face, for in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath I have spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. The mountains shall be thrown down. Every wall shall fall to the ground. I will call for a sword against Gog. I will rain down on him and his troops, and the many peoples who are with him, flooding rain, great hailstones, fire and brimstone. And so God is going to kill Gog and all the nations that come down. Israel won't have to fire a bullet. God himself will miraculously destroy all these nations that attack Israel.
Finally, when will the Gog-Magog war happen? When will Russia and the Muslim nations attack Israel?
There's a text in Ezekiel 38, before things have to happen, before they attack, Israel must be restored back to their land after it had long been desolate. Check that box. Israel must have come back from many nations. That's true. They must be dwelling securely, and they must be prosperous. They're filthy rich. The Israelis are filthy rich. Their tech sector is incredibly successful. They have 32 trillion cubic feet of natural gas. They export huge amounts of agricultural produce. The Dead Sea has 1 billion tons of chemicals in it. The Israelis are rich beyond belief. Okay. The only question is, are they dwelling securely? Because some people say this can't happen right now because they're not dwelling securely. Let me just tell you, Israel is the most powerful nation in the Middle East. Even though they have a lot of enemies, they're dwelling securely because they have the most incredible military force you've ever seen. And so, in my opinion, this will happen around the time of the rapture, and this will set up the covenant with the Antichrist that begins the tribulation period of time. So how do you respond to this message? I want you to know our God is in control. Vladimir Putin is God's puppet. Iran is God's puppet. These people are not in control. They're being controlled by God. God will use them for the very purpose he wants to use them for. The end times are God's times. If you're a believer, you should be comforted to know two things. God predicted all of this would happen. He's in control of it. And we're not going to be here when the worst of it happens. Jesus is coming for us. We ought to be comforted. And I want you to be able to comfort people who are very upset about what's happening in the world right now. Jesus predicted, by the way, one of the things that would happen in the end were famines. The Ukraine is the breadbasket of Europe. Ukraine, they're rationing flour in Lebanon right now. The Ukraine supplies Lebanon with their grain. And so what's happening in Ukraine right now will affect the world food supply, which is already fragile. Last year, the head of the UN World Food Bank said, if we don't have billions of dollars poured in to the World Food Bank, we're going to watch famines of biblical proportions in the last several years. That was before what's happening in the Ukraine and Russia right now. The world is set up right now for what Jesus said would happen in the end times. And it means that Jesus is coming. It means that God is in control. And it means we need to be living our lives for Jesus. Live like Jesus is coming back today.
Our guest has been Pastor Jimmy Evans, author of Where Are All the Missing People? The Sudden Disappearance of Millions and What Happens Next. The bottom line is, our God is in total control. Once we're in eternity, there's no turning back. Our record is set forever. So the question for you is, how will you live differently, knowing that there is an end to your life? So what do you want to do before you enter eternity? So you can say, as Jesus did in John 17, I have completed the work the Father gave me to do.
And Jesus will say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord forever. If you would like a CD copy of today's program, please ask for number 1826, Where Are the Missing Christians? That's number 1826, Where Are the Missing Christians? You can order a CD copy of this program from our website. Our website is issuesineducation.org. That's issuesineducation.org. Please give us a call at 928-776-0000. That's 928-776-0000. From Revelation 21, verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow or mourning, nor crying or pain, for the former things are passed away. For Issues in Education, this has been Bob and Jerry Boyd.